Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We thank you for being with us, everybody. DA with you on a fine Wednesday coming up this hour here on the show. We'll talk about the Dodgers in an amazing run of seven consecutive National League West titles after last night. But does it matter unless they win the whole shebang this year? College football time, though, first. As a couple of coaches are already feeling heat after disappointing starts to their season. Joining us to discuss all things college football is our good friend Houston Nutt from CBS Sports Network. Good morning, Houston. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
It's always great to catch up with you. And last week, another tough pill to swallow for Tennessee. An 0-2 start for Vols fans, something that nobody ever wants to see, but it's been ugly in Knoxville. When you look at that program having coached in the SEC, how difficult is it to get the boat turned around when things get really negative like it is in Knoxville?
Yeah, it's very difficult. When you think about Tennessee, you think about the tradition, you think about championships. I remember taking teams in there, and it's wall-to-wall for 100,000 people of orange, and always a tough place to win. When you see Tennessee get beat by Georgia State, BYU, man, it's so hard. And so Coach Pruitt has to go in that meeting room and shut the door and say to his team that, hey, look, right now nobody really loves you except your mama and me, and here's what we need. We need your best, and it starts this week. And they've got to get that only dose of medicine you have to have in something like that, and that's a victory. You got to get a win. You got to be 1-2. That's your number one goal. You got to win this game and start getting some success, building a good attitude, and from little things, from penalties to taking care of the most precious thing you have, the ball. All those little things to get this victory Saturday is so important. And you got to tune out the outside noise, and it's not easy to do.
Willie Taggart and Florida State just ekes by Louisiana Monroe on Saturday. And he says, hey, a win is a win. We're trying to build a program right now. But obviously, fans and media look at that as nearly a loss, or might as well be a loss when you need a missed extra point to beat Louisiana Monroe. How do you control that message in that locker room that even though it was a close win over an overmatched opponent, we should use this as a positive when that's a really tough sell?
Well, that it is. And that's where, again, you got to get your seniors first and foremost and let them know. Our goal was to win the game. We did. Now, did we win the way we want to? No. But we're going to build off this thing and here's the roadmap. And that's where if you get your seniors to buy in and hey, this is the roadmap, and there's going to be a lot of outside noise and a lot of hollering about this and that. We should have beat them 50 to nothing. The bottom line is we won, and now let's go get to the next one and do the same thing, but we're going to play better. And so that's the only way you can do it. You just got to dig your way out of it. And again, those two programs you brought up, it's hard because you expect so much more.
Houston Nutt joins us here from CBS Sports Network. For Michigan last week, they nearly lost to Army. Now, Army's a good program. 10 wins last season, nearly did this to Oklahoma. But, boy, Michigan is a top 10 team this season. That game was at the Big House. Is that a concern that it took the Wolverines into double overtime to win?
Well, it is because, again, you expect so much more. And you know, Coach Harbaugh spent some time on this thing. Now, Army, I got the privilege because of CBS to be. I watched them for the last 7 to 8 years, and especially these last two. What Coach Monken has done is phenomenal. And you don't want to play Army because of this wishbone, because of the linemen that get after your legs every single play. It's tough. But in saying all that, you know, offensively, Michigan hasn't looked good. And so they've got to get better. Shea Patterson, remember, we know how athletic he is. He's a dual threat. But he's had a lot of coordinators the last few years. And so he's got to get comfortable. He's got to get in sync. And the main thing is he's got to take care of the ball. And all of them have to do that. You can't turn it over. And so you just look for some improvement. You won the game. You got to feel good about that. But you got to get better, and it starts against Rutgers. Wisconsin.
Yeah. We're talking about Florida State, and in week number one, Boise State went down there and shut out the Seminoles in the second half. What an impressive second-half performance by the Broncos. And then they shut out Marshall as well in the second half last week, so that defense had been really impressive when it mattered most. But also their quarterback has been great, and Hank Bachmeyer over the first 2 weeks of the season. What has impressed you more about Boise State, the defensive side of things when it mattered or their quarterback play?
Well, I probably would say quarterback. About because I was expecting such a drop off. When you lose Brett Rippon, you think, okay, boy, you're gonna have to kind of work your way in here with the next guy. You know he's not gonna be at that level. And all of a sudden, you look up, boy, and this guy is just he's throwing with accuracy and getting them out of the wrong play, getting them into the right play. Man, you feel so good about that. And their defense again, when you're 31-13 and you're down. Man, it takes backbone and it takes a defense to be able to get that ball back to your offense. And that's where you got to give Brian Harsin and his staff so much credit to go on the road and win a game like that. It builds so much confidence. So I'm not trying to dodge a question. I'd put probably the quarterback one, but I'd put that defense 1A.
Well, we had a chance to go out to Boise last year, and we had Brian on the show in person, and he's just a really impressive guy. He's an intense guy. He's a smart guy. When you look at Coach Harsin and the program that he has built, what do you see about him as a head coach that kind of defines that program's success?
Well, I'm glad you asked. And I had the privilege to coach Brian Harsin. He was a backup quarterback for me when I was at Boise State, and I can tell you firsthand, first of all, nothing but integrity, character, leader, studies film from daylight to exhaustion, and he cares about his players. And you can see it. The way he treats his players, the way he demands effort and attitude is just absolutely phenomenal. And they follow this guy. And you can see it. And they've been following ever since he was named head coach. And He has the blueprint of how to get things done, and he does it with excellent teaching. But he knows this. The players know this. They know that he cares, and the players really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so that's the fine line. And he has just done an outstanding job, and to me, excellent job, especially on offense.
Houston Nutt joins us here on the show from CBS Sports Network. He joins us as a former SEC Coach of the Year. And in the SEC, Nick Saban doesn't like that noon start time. Alabama doesn't like that noon start time. Why don't coaches like the noon start time?
Well, in September now, when it's hot, we like it. You like it at night.
Oh.
And you like it where your fans and everybody can have a nice tailgating time and come in there when the sun goes down and everything. But, hey, the bottom line is that's why – each team gets about 40-plus million. You know, you got SEC networks, you got TV times, and when you play a non-conference game like that, you're going to get an early noon kickoff, okay? And so Coach Saban, as he plays the LSUs and Auburns, you can bet it'll be prime time or night.
Houston Nutt joining us from CBS Sports Network. How about Saturday's college football lineup for the family of CBS networks? on CBS. College Football Today at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Alabama, South Carolina at 3:30 Eastern Time. CBS Sports Network has Maryland at Temple at noon Eastern, ECU Navy at 3:30 Eastern, and then Texas and Rice at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Coach, it's always fun to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. My pleasure. We'll do it again. I like what Coach just said there about Nick Saban griping about start times. Look, Nick, you get paid an exorbitant amount of money because of television. And if television slots you in a specific television window, sure, you can say, you know what, we want to play at 3:30 or we want to play at 7, but then just give back the TV portion of your salary. That's fine. That's fair. Just say do not factor in the TV money. In fact, tell CBS we're not going to play on TV. We want no televised games, okay? We want to play we'll just broadcast it on radio locally. That's it. It'll be heard here in Tuscaloosa and across the radio network of the Crimson Tide. No TV. And then we can decide when we want to play. Totally fair. But if you are going to take 7, 8, $9 million a year, guess where that cash comes from?
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
You know where that cash comes from? That cash comes from TV. That's TV money. CBS likes to pay a lot of money to put Alabama on national TV in the 3:30 window. Sometimes in the noon window, sometimes in the 7:30 window, ESPN likes to pay some money to be putting teams like Alabama in the noon window, 7:30 window. ESPN also has the SEC network that likes to put Alabama perhaps in the noon window. You know what ends up happening? You're going to have to work around a lot of that stuff. But Saban should know that because he talks about dealing with adversity, dealing with the noise, taking distractions out of it. I wouldn't think that playing at noon would be a distraction. I wouldn't think you'd have to worry about that, that you'd have to get all bent out of shape about that. Imagine I came on these airwaves and I was like, you know what? I hate going to commercial break. I don't want to go to commercial break. We're not going to play commercials. My bosses would be like, DA, how do you think you get paid a salary? You think we just do this out of charity? You think this is coming out of our pockets right now? I'm not playing commercials. We won't do it. That's the whole lever that makes this whole thing work, dude. And Nick knows that, but he's trying to obviously bully his way into things that he wants because that's what Nick Saban tends to do. When we come back here on the show, the Los Angeles Dodgers are 7-time consecutive NL West champs. 7 straight division titles. That's pretty amazing. But are they at the risk of becoming the Atlanta Braves or worse, the Buffalo Bills? It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Break ends in 5 seconds.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
Love you bringing the knowledge to the city, but it's a little cornbread over there.
They're afraid to be great. They're afraid to be great, man. Yeah, I can just let loose here.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You can let loose around here on the DA show. Thanks so much for letting loose with us every single day. The DA with you and the DA show is available on so many different platforms. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 206, and on the radio.com app or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app. Also, watch us at watchda.com. Watchda.com. I couldn't help but notice the article last night when the Dodgers wrapped up a win in Baltimore, of all places, which wrapped up their seventh consecutive NL West title. And I just looked at that headline last night, and I just marveled at it. Seven consecutive division titles is an amazing run. Now, granted, that division's not very good. I mean, the Giants had been good, and the Giants have won three world championships. But recent years, the Giants have fallen on tough times. The Padres, tough times, very tough. The Diamondbacks, tough times. This has not been a division that's been all that brutal. It's not like the American League East. It's not like you have another powerhouse in the division coming after you every single year. So part of that helps. The Colorado Rockies have been good, competitive, but again, not a beast like the Dodgers. So the Dodgers have beaten up on one of the weaker divisions in baseball. But seven consecutive titles is a pretty amazing stat. But this headline stuck with me, all right? It stuck with me because as I marveled at seven consecutive division titles, where most of us root for teams that one would be great, let alone seven straight, the ESPN.com article said, judge the Dodgers on seven straight titles, not the World Series crown they're still chasing. And I couldn't square with that. I could not square with that. Don't judge the Dodgers on not being able to win the crown. Judge them on seven division titles. And I really thought about that because I said, is that a more fair way of looking at it? I mean, that's their success over 162 games, which is really kind of more of a definition of your season than just winning a seven-game series or a series of seven-game series. But then I thought, no, you can't do that because the Dodgers don't consider seven straight division titles to be the end-all be-all either. You can't tell me anybody in the organization's like, hey, who cares if we win the World Series? We won the NL West again. Nobody in there is saying, hey, we should be defined by our regular season success. Nobody. They're all desperate to finally win the first World Series for that organization since 1988. Desperate. And I thought about the Atlanta Braves. You know, the Atlanta Braves had a run that was beyond crazy. They won the National League East every year between 95 and 05. And before that, they won three consecutive NL West titles. Here are the division titles in a row that the Atlanta Braves had during their 1990s and mid-2000s dynasty. 91, 92, 93. There was no postseason 94. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 01, 02, 03, 04, 05. That's how many division titles they won in a row. And while that is a remarkable achievement, obviously, what do you think they think about their run? Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Chipper Jones, Bobby Cox, John Schuerholz. Those guys don't talk about all the divisions that they won. They talk about the 1995 World Series. They talk about when they finally won the World Series. They're not like, oh man, all those division titles was awesome. No. They don't go to card shows and sign autographs, 1997 NL East champs. They go to card shows and they do documentaries because of the 1995 World Championship. And the Braves, did what the Dodgers have done twice in a row. They doubled what the Dodgers have just done. They won the division every year for 15 years. Think about that. You could grow up in Atlanta. It's like being a Patriots fan. You could grow up in Atlanta and at 1 year old have experienced the Braves winning the National League East and have seen it every year for your entire life until you almost graduated high school. But they're not defined by that, nor do we define them by that. They got that one title, though, so it's not all for a loss. Buffalo Bills. Yeah, it was impressive. They went to four straight Super Bowls. But four straight Super Bowls is more impressive than seven straight NL West titles. If the Dodgers don't even get back to the World Series this year, this is a huge, huge gut punch. The Bills were on the doorstep of at least winning the Super Bowl. The Dodgers have won the NL West seven times. Look, it is remarkable. It really is. It's an incredible achievement. But don't tell me that we should define the Dodgers by winning the NL West. That is ridiculous. That is utterly ridiculous. They are defined by if they can finally close. And they have not been able to close. And they have gotten close and no cigar. And gotten to the NLCS and no cigar. And gotten to the World Series the last 2 years and no cigar. And I'm sorry, if they win the National League West this year, but then crap out in the NLDS against the wild card, it's going to be a disaster. Don't tell me we're going to define the Dodgers by seven NL West titles. It's just not going to happen. Who's the better dynasty? The Braves or the Bills?
Neither is a dynasty, but the Braves are because they at least won one World Series.
Four straight Super Bowls. Hard to do.
But you have to ultimately win the prize. The Braves at least won one. Still looked at as a disappointment, but they at least won one.
Went 1-4 in the World Series. Lost four World Series.
The Bills lost four Super Bowl. At least the Braves won one. You have to raise it at least once.
Braves won 100 games four different times, didn't get to the World Series. Four different 100-win teams. They had a 101, a 106, and two 101s. None of them reached the World Series. In fact, two of them didn't make it out of the first round.
Major disappointment. I think overall the Braves' era of supremacy is a major disappointment, but at least they still got one. You have to at least get your hands on one.
I agree with that. The Braves are more impressive. Not only did they get one, but also they did it for longer than the Bills. I mean, you did it for 15 years.
A little different, though. Baseball players' career lifespans are longer than football players' lifespans.
Yes, it is. But still, I mean, the fact that they won the division every year from 91 until 05 is something that will probably never be matched. I mean, that does not sound like anything you could possibly do again. Braves are more impressive. But ultimately, let's face it, both the Bills and the Braves are disappointments. Those eras are disappointments. So if the Dodgers don't win this year a World Series, these 7 years are a disappointment, right?
Yeah, and by the way, I don't even think they'll be favored in the World Series if they play the Astros or Yankees.
You're probably right. Yes, you're probably right. They have to be defined on whether they win a championship or not. They have to be. Bogus, do you think it's fair to say judge the Dodgers on seven NL West titles, not if they win the World Series?
No, I would judge them on pennants. I could swallow that almost like the Bills getting four.
If they get to three straight, this would be their third straight World Series.
Yes. Now, obviously, you trade the three for one, no like doubt. The Bills trade four for one. But getting to four consecutive Super Bowls is its own impressive feat, just like getting to three World Series would be. But ultimately, they have to win one. They don't want to be the Bills. You don't want to be the Bills who have this respected but kind of infamous place in the NFL because they never actually got the job done.
You got to win it.
You have to win.
You have to. And this has been a really great run by them. But if they do not win it, you cannot say, oh, don't judge them on not winning the World Series. I mean, please. When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. And that includes Jerry Jones still talking about there's not enough pie. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Surge Protector, you're about to be zapped.
Todd. Hey, have you ever seen a baby named Todd in the last 30 years, by the way? What an ugly baby that must look like. Hey, look at little Todd here. You want to hold Todd? You want to milk Todd? I mean, what are we doing here?
You want to milk Todd?
Oh, no, I think Todd milks.
No. No, none of that is right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
None of that is right. Welcome, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for being with us. 39 minutes past the hour, the DA here. And you can always listen to us there using your phone because you can check us out using the radio.com app, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, or watch us on your phone at watchda.com or watch us on your computer at watchda.com. Daniel in Las Vegas tweets, the Mariners won 116 games. So shut it.
You are a machine of death.
Yeah, that was really bad too. You win 116, a record for the modern era, and you can't even make the World Series. And oh, by the way, the Seattle Mariners did that not that long ago and now have the longest postseason drought in Major League Baseball. Bill tweets, the Dodgers are the new Braves. World Series are what counts. Got to close. 7 straight division titles. Who cares? You got to close. Dodger Blue Jackson tweets, the Dodgers have to close the deal this season. Their first appearance, they blew it into Game 7. The second appearance, they were hammered by the Red Sox. This has to be the year. It cannot be another disappointment. Go Blue. Exactly. Dodgers fans know it. They don't care about winning the National League West because they would be happy enough getting in as a wild card and winning the World Series. No Dodgers fan is like, you know what? As long as we're winning the National League West, I'm happy. No, you got to close. This ESPN article. Judge the Dodgers by their NL West titles, not the World Series crown they're still chasing. You got to be kidding me.
I am the epic fail.
Let's get to the best audio of the day. It is time for soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Here's Gus Malzahn. We were talking about Nick Saban complaining about a noon kick. And here's Gus Malzahn clearly aiming these comments at his rival.
Our guys are excited to be back home for our second home game, playing a very solid Kent State team, 6 p.m. kick. Personally, I wish it was at noon. We'd have more time to prepare for our next opponent.
Hey-o! Malzahn tweaking Saban. Nice job. That's a well-placed fireball of shade there thrown at Saban. Like I said before, it's so silly for any head coach to ever complain about start times. It is so silly because that head coach makes the bulk of his money from the television contract that his school has signed, his AD has signed. And if he doesn't want the television windows to be dictated by television executives, then he should give back all the television money. And so, okay, no television money for you guys. No TV money. So you can't build new facilities and you can't up the ante with your coordinators and your salary can't be as high and your facilities in your locker room can't have a slide in it, okay? And your players can't get beat by Dre. So everything cool with that? All right, fine. So no TV money then. And then you can dictate when you want to play. Here's Doug Marrone, head coach of the Jaguars, with his new quarterback, Gardner Minshew.
The players obviously believed in him, you know, from practice. But I think when you go out there and you perform like that, you know, that people have a lot of faith in him. You know, and the players, which are the most important.
I mean, look, Minshew might end up being the next Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he's an interesting guy. But honestly, it's just going to be a flash in the pan, and he's going to be kind of never a star and what have you. Maybe he's even less than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has had a very profitable and lucrative career. Maybe Gardner Minshew is just a flavor of the week, played well in a blowout loss, Chiefs defense not very good perhaps all anyway, and game one, blowout, no biggie. But what if Gardner Minshew turns into the next great NFL backup quarterback story? I mean, sixth-round quarterback, sixth-round draft pick. I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but Tom Brady, the door is open because the starter gets injured early in the season. Of course, that was Drew Bledsoe. How about Nick Foles, who has now had a career by winning a Super Bowl and getting this job by virtue of being a backup and then coming in and performing well when the starter goes down? What an amazing full circle this would be if Gardner Minshew ends up being a franchise quarterback because of an injury to the guy that was the franchise quarterback because of an injury. Here's Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas with Sean and RJ. Once again, keeps talking about not enough money.
It's pretty obvious. We've got a lot of talent on this team, and we don't have enough money to go around. That's the nature of the cap. It'd be a pretty easy process if there were just plenty to keep everybody. But that doesn't happen. And if we can keep this team together, we think we do have great players, beginning with Dak as the leader and beginning with Dak as the most substantive position. But, boy, we're going to have to be very judicious. We're going to have to be very calculated. We're going to need the break. We're going to need that cap to go up. But even with all of that, the thing is designed for teams not to keep all the players.
Well, how is it possible then that you're keeping all the players? Jerry, you've signed 4/5 of your offensive line to contracts that pay them either in the top 3 or top 5 of their positions. You've signed the linebacker, Jalen Smith, to a contract extension. You've signed DeMarcus Lawrence to a huge contract extension. You've now signed Ezekiel Elliott to a massive contract extension, the highest paid running back in the NFL. And I'm sure you're going to end up signing your quarterback, Dak Prescott, because you've said a contract is imminent. So who exactly are you talking about that there's not enough money to go around? You can't keep paying everybody and then saying there's not enough money. You could only imagine a guy that's like, yeah, I mean, I know I've got 3 Jaguars. I know I have a Porsche. I know I've got 3 different homes. Yes, I wear $500 suits every single day. Yeah, I live a really lavish lifestyle. And yes, I go on vacation every month. But there's just no more money left. And finally, speaking of the Jaguars, here's our friend Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York, cleanly and efficiently going over the Jaguars' upcoming schedule.
They have, in week 2, they are playing the Texans coming up on Thursday night, right? No, is that right? No, that's not right. No, that's not right. They're playing a weekend game. They aren't playing on Sunday. They're playing on Sunday. Yeah, they're playing in Texas at the Texans on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. They're not the early game. So they're playing the scheduled Thursday game is Bucks at Panthers. That's the Thursday game. Bucks at Panthers this week. And then the Jaguars are playing at the Texans in week 2. And then in week 3, they are playing the Titans.
How long did it take us to get to that?
Oh, week 3 is a Thursday night.
Coming up, the Jaguars are going to be taking on the Titans. It's going to be Thursday night. No, it is not. That's not the Thursday night game, okay? That's going to be the Panthers on a Saturday in London. Nope, that's wrong too. All right. They're going to be playing the Bengals on Thanksgiving.
Nope, they're not playing the Bengals on Thanksgiving. Okay, all right. Cowboys, I'm told the Cowboys and Lions play on Thanksgiving. Okay, not the Jaguars and Bengals. All right. Now they'll be playing the early game coming up here at 4:30 on Sunday. 4:30 is not the early game. Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, it's quite a roundabout way of getting to the Jaguars Week 3 opponent. All right, that is your sound check this morning. We know that there has been a series of affiliate programming changes across the CBS Sports Radio network this week, and we know that there's a lot of listeners out there that are wondering about said changes and how to listen to the DA show and where to listen to the DA show. And so I will talk about this tomorrow, okay, in the first hour of the show. But we know that there's been a lot of changes, and just as a programming note, if your local affiliate has made said changes and you're still looking for the DA show, it's very, very easy, okay? Very easy, okay? You can download the app, okay? Now, there is so many different ways you can listen to the show. If your local affiliate has made some changes this week and you'd like to listen to the DA show, as I always mention, SiriusXM Channel 206 is fantastic because satellite radio is a clean, clear feed, and you can get it anywhere, anytime, obviously. But if you're looking for a free DA show, that's great as well because on your phone, the radio.com app is awesome because not only do you get the DA show live streaming, but also all the podcasts of the DA show in one click of the button, radio.com app, and that's all free. Also, if you use the CBS Sports app to get your sports news, we are on that as well. You can listen to CBS Sports Radio on the sidebar. Just scroll down to the sidebar. You'll see CBS Sports Radio on that. Also, you can use Apple Music. If you are an iTunes user or a music user, we're on there. And that's free. So you can listen to us there. You can tell your smart speaker, just play CBS Sports Radio, and your smart speaker will find it. You can go on the website, cbssportsradio.com, and listen to it. You can watch it if you're at work, watchda.com. If you're on your phone anywhere, you can watch it. On your tablet, you can watch it, watchda.com. So fear not, plenty of different ways to listen live to the Don no matter what. But I know that there's a lot of you guys that have reached out to us. I know that you've called in and talked to Mraz off the air. So sounds like Mraz has been a very popular guy the last 48 hours.
I feel like I'm running a telethon here.
So we're raising money for Mraz's education. We're going to try to send him back to school, finally get that degree that he's always wanted. So send your money here. We'll do a GoFundMe account called the DA Show Telethon. But I will talk about this on the air tomorrow in hour number one. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. This Bill O'Brien guy is amazing, truly. This guy's amazing. He will stop at nothing to blame everybody else but himself for everything that happens in the organization, even though there's nobody left. He has somehow shoved out the door two different general managers. He has all the power, all of it. The organization had signed Aaron Colvin to a big, fat, four-year deal, $18 million guaranteed, a cornerback. He had played 1 year on the deal last year. And in week number one, because he got beat a couple of times against the Saints, they cut him. They cut him. Gone. Cut him. They are eating $7.5 million of guaranteed money over the next 15 weeks. Come on. I mean, is this not just total ego, maniacal butt chinness? What right now is the win here by Bill O'Brien? Clearly the win is I'm sending a message to the locker room, right? That's got to be the reason that he's doing this. Because you're eating $7.5 million over the course of this year to not have a guy on your roster. So you now lose depth at the cornerback position and no hope that you can somehow work with him late in the year, get him turned around, make him productive, need him in the playoffs. You can't do that. Now you're just done with him. So this is about sending a message that this guy was sidelined last year with an ankle injury. And then this year, basically got beat by Ted Ginn and allowed a pair of touchdown passes. I'm sending a message. This is unacceptable. Okay. All right, send a message. Send a message. I'd like to see how that message falls now this week. Do you think that the Texans suddenly are playing tighter football? Nobody's getting beat in the secondary? Do we think that that's going to happen? Do we think that this team is going to wake up, that somehow that they were woken out of the cobwebs by doing this? I mean, this is so dumb. I'm sending a message. This is unacceptable. Well, how about you guys coaches ask better? How about that? How about that? How about look in the mirror? Because all that is dead money now. This is a guy you spent money on, a lot of money on, and now he is not of service to you. You can't coach him up. You can't get him better. You can't put him in for spot duty. No, now he's just gone. Week one, 15 weeks. You think you might need another cornerback at some point this season? You think? You might? Sending a message. Bill. Incredible. Bill. I mean, honestly, I'd rather see his chin actually have a headset instead. I mean, Aaron Colvin didn't blow two timeouts on one play in Monday's game. When we come back here on the show, Odell Beckham doing Odell Beckham stuff yet again. Oh, the joy.
Oh, okay.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.